mess that all up. Now, if you, people that weren't here, we did Genesis, we did In the Beginning, and I tried the best I could, the Lord's help, to explain what I seen in Genesis in the beginning. And we got to Genesis 2, what was that? Genesis 2, 7, and where he explains man, that he breathed the breath of life into man, and I consider that all part of, should have been Genesis 1, because that was all part of the creation. And I believe wholeheartedly that if you look up, if you look at creation, everything was created for man by God, because he was the focal point, because he gave dominion of the world to man. So I really believe that the creation was a creation for man and for the purpose of man. And then we have man. And man does what man does best. And if you want to go to Genesis 6-7, and I wrote it down, and I'm going to go through with you because I know it takes everybody time to go open up and look. And it was God's creation bad. Okay? Genesis 6-7. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and bird of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Okay, he created them. He can do whatever he wants with them. I was going to bring clay in and show you that as a man, if I created something and it would turn on me, what I would do to it. I figured it would be better off not going there, because I am man, and I don't want this to be about the Lord, not about man. So I decided that was better not to do it, but it's God had that opinion of man. He created them, and he could have destroyed them just as easy.
I always wondered that. I can understand the Lord wanting to destroy man because of how easy it was. But animals and creeping things and birds.
Okay, the way I look at that is by he made everything for man.
Oh, okay.
God didn't need birds. God didn't need fish. God, and so everything, he was going to destroy everything, because if he destroys man, none of that's necessary. Okay. And I think that proves it. But that's just my opinion. That's how I read it. Like I said, I read things a lot different than most people. I have a different opinion because I look at.
That sounds like a good thought process. Who's
going to
take care of the birds and the animals now?
Well, but God does.
Enjoy them.
And that's why he created them. It's all for man. It's all for man's purpose. And people, I think, really think, like, I get chills when I hear people spending tens of thousands of dollars on animals to save them, when they're there for our enjoyment, and there's people that tens of thousands of dollars could have saved. It's just hard for me to adapt to that. I mean, I really, it's...
Well, come spend the night at my house.
No. You won't let me see.
My pastor.
You won't let me see. Okay. So, from Genesis 8, then you go to Genesis 6-8. And it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, when he first talks, he's wiping out all man. And then he says, found grace. How did Noah found grace? A man. Find grace. Is he good? Was he perfect? No. We know he wasn't perfect. But was his heart towards the Lord? That's the big difference, is his heart. He had his heart towards the Lord. And that's what save God's creation? Was there somebody that still had a heart towards the Lord? As hard as that is to believe, one person and how many people were in the world at that time? One person's family had the heart towards the Lord that he would actually recognize him. Okay, then you go to 2 Kings 19:15. Now, there are a lot more areas of creation touched in the Bible, but I figured I'd never get done if I tried to hit them all. So I just picked and chose some, and okay, 2 Kings 19:15. Now this was Hezekiah prayed for deliverance from the Assyrians. He recognized God as creator and all things are under his control. So then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. So, in Hezekiah, he recognized God for who he was the creator. And as the creator, he could do anything. So, he recognized him rightly so, in my eyes. Because he recognized him as the one who can do anything. And it's up to him. All things are up to him. Whether we live or die, whether things are going to go on the way they are, or things are going to change, he knows what's going to happen. But he gives man a free will, so he doesn't always change things. But Hezekiah was a leader of his people, and he had a heart for his people. And I believe with Hezekiah turning to the Lord with the Assyrians staring at him, the Lord was moved because Hezekiah recognized the Lord as the creator. So if you haven't noticed my theme, it's people recognizing the Lord as the creator. Because as the creator, he's in control of all things. And some people really don't see that. First of all, the Big Bang Theory and all that evolving and all that, they don't recognize the Lord for who he is. He is the creator. Okay, and then from there, we're going to look at Nehemiah 9:6. That's God as creator again, because up to this point they were all fearful. They were, because they had no protection. They didn't have the wall to protect them. And after they had the wall to protect them, they did something really weird. They recognized God as their creator. So they needed the wall to feel protected, but the real protection was in the Lord. So they did finish something, but in that respect, I believe they gave the glory to the Lord. Because it says, you alone are the Lord. You have made heaven and the heavens of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and everything on it, the sea and all that is in them. And you preserve them all. The hosts of heavens worship you. So, and that's, I just, even though they completed something that they thought was their protection and they needed. And I believe God, it was God's will for them to finish the wall. But they also understand that God is the deliverer. God, they needed God. As much as they needed the wall, they needed God more. Amen. without without God, that wall would have came tumbling down shortly thereafter. Okay. And then we go to Psalms 102. And in the affliction, look unto God as creator. See, if, and you could, with, because God allows the affliction. So we all know the story of Job. God allows affliction. So with that knowledge of God allowing the affliction, you also recognize him as creator because you know he's in control. So, Psalms 102:25. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. And that he's in, when you're in affliction, and that's, they're not, they don't think David wrote this. They say David didn't write it because it was after, it's during the affliction. They think it's the time of when they're taken away to Babylon, but. You know, there's no way to be sure. But by the way it's written, they believe that was the affliction. And, you know, so during that time of affliction, they're looking to God as their creator again. And it's important because to know that all affliction comes from them. And people, some people have a real hard time that God would allow. Well, it's that question. God, why would you allow? And it's tough because it affects everybody differently. But there's a purpose. And we might never know until we get to heaven. But then sometimes you look back and you're like, wow, that really happened. You know, God allowed that because I wasn't so pig-headed. I can't say that. Okay. but you see, it's great when God does things and we see it. But there's some things we won't know until we get to heaven. Everything isn't for man to know, and people have a hard time with that also. But it's actually built into us. It's part of our intellect is to know. Like people want to know how things work and things how to do things, and it's just but. There's things we're not going to know because the Lord's smarter than that because man is pretty dumb. That's just my opinion. I want to make sure everybody's aware. That's just my opinion. But from what I see, especially nowadays, how the world is pretty dumb. You watch, they want to make cars to drive themselves. You think how poor people have to be to drive if they really want cars to drive themselves. Think about it for a second. Hey, it's that easy to look at. If you look at it, that's the way I look at things. I mean, it's hard to see that they say all this technology is great, but I look at the people and the effects it has on people, it's making people lazy and not want to do stuff. And so with that, they're not thinking.
You talked about marijuana.
Well, it's everything that does that. It's not just the drugs or the alcohol. It's the games, the video games. What do they do to kids?
Can we talk about the self-checkout? Yeah. I get to pay more for my groceries and work to do my scan the thing.
Exactly.
All the kids stand there and pick their nose.
But it's all in the same thing of we don't think, so why should we? And think about it. If you really believe in God, you got to think about it. It's not natural. Because God does everything opposite the way of natural man does things. I mean, he takes the weaker to guide the stronger. I mean, you think about that, it's really different from everything that we would personally do or we strive to do or we want to do. And so it really makes it crazy, at least to me. The way I look at it is how nowadays they try to get people not to think and they try to get people not to do stuff. And then all the other people complain. Okay.
They're destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
parents.
Yes. And from there, we're going to go to Psalms 124, 8. And that is a Psalm of David.
Carol, you have something.
Oh, yeah. Mister,
well,
go ahead.
Just listening, I, the scripture came to mind. I forget where it's at, but we are not our own.
Yes.
We were bought at a price. So when you're walking with Jesus, you know, whatever you're going through with your body or whatever in your life, you know, this life is not mine. This belongs to the Lord.
Correct.
So who am I to tell him what to do?
But we still do.
Well,
we,
yeah.
Because
we don't want to hurt. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to, you know. But when you do know that, I think it makes it easier for you to go through it because you love the Lord.
Yes.
And you want to please him. And if he's allowing it, he's allowing it for a reason.
Well, that's why I like how the Lord prayed.
Am I talking about?
Yeah,
you know.
To how the Lord Jesus prayed in the garden. I don't want to go through this. That was man. That was his man's side. I don't want to go through it. But then his God's side took over and said, but your will be done. You see, he actually showed there's two different ways. There's a way to pray, but you got to watch where you pray as man's with, because your wishes. Because as I've told some people in here, when my father first had his heart attack, I and my whole family, we were all praying that he survived the heart attack. Then after he survived, he got a little better, then he went downhill real good. Then we watched him suffer in the bed and everything, and we were praying that the Lord took him quick. But both prayers that we prayed were our feelings. It wasn't the Lord's will at the time. And if we would have turned around and prayed, Lord, your will, he may have took him when he had the heart attack. He may not have. But it's his will. And it's, you don't know. You don't know what the prayers, the Lord knows what he's going to fulfill. But you don't know when you're praying how you're coming off to the Lord. Because if you don't pray in his will, and you're just praying your feelings, you can really miss guide yourself. But that's another subject we're doing, creation here. I know, I easily get off air. I know, I've been watching.
Sorry, I'm going to interject. You just mentioned Hezekiah, right? Isn't he the one who he was on his deathbed and then God granted him the extra years. And in those years, he had the most evilest son, king, you know, and it's like if only Manasseh, if he had not been born and not been granted those 15 years.
That's right.
I know we don't understand, like, the effects of our prayer, but we see in, like, that instance, like,
yeah.
It did
mm-hmm.
change, so.
Yep. And it does. And the prayer, pray properly. And that's why I look at it as if we pray more as God is our creator and not what we want. I think God's happier with us because he is our creator and there's nothing that happens. And I don't say don't take your wants or your needs or your things to the Lord, but you got to recognize the Lord for who he is. He's our creator. He's our God. He's who we got to please. We're here to please him, as much as people don't want to believe that. But we're here to please him, and that is our role. I mean, because if you look at the beginning of Genesis, He created a perfect garden for man, but man sinned and he had to get out of the perfect garden. You know, this all follows. It's all because he gave us a free will. So you think I talked about that, but I don't want to get on that subject. What's that?
Later.
Oh, is it? So I didn't even know this, but it's going to go into our free will, and that's a scary song. I'm glad you're covering it up. Our free will. Okay. So. Okay. Good. I didn't read.
It should be called costly will.
Yeah. Yes. 24:8. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. And that's the end of a psalm from David. And he realized the only way you can help the people is to pray to the Lord who created them. And that's our help. Our help is in the Lord. And that's what I keep going over. It seems redundant, but it's important that we understand that the Creator created us, not so that we were supposed to be this proud, mighty thing. We're here as to give Him the glory. And we really kind of mess that up at times.
Well, I think in the Westminster Catechism, and I don't know if any of you, when you were, I went to Catholic school, but I think it says, what is the chief duty of man? The chief duty of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Enjoy Him. So while you're glorifying Him, you will enjoy Him. It's just we get it backwards, you know.
We mess things up.
But I think when you have a right view of the beginning,
yes,
when you have a correct biblical worldview, other things fall into place. When you get sidetracked and you start picking up the world's view, then you get really screwed up. Your mind becomes diseased, corrupted, and you can't go back to in the. You will not accept that God created. You can't. You will believe in. You will try to. You know, whatever that. There's a doctrine that goes with that, like where you incorporate. Like evolution into your belief system. You incorporate it because, that's what the world's teaching, so you've got to somehow make it work.
Or make it appeasing.
Yeah, but you try to reconcile it in your mind. You don't go back to the beginning. What was God's worldview? And he says over and over again, go back to heavens.
And that's how I just feel it was so important that throughout the Bible, how he... People, when they pray about God as our Creator, how God responds to that, because we identify Him for who He is. And what that does is that makes us know what we're for. Because we identify Him as the Creator, we are the created.
Yeah.
And that's hard for people to understand, that we are the created, not... He's the Creator, and that's why I think it's so easy for a lot of people to dismiss creation, because they don't want to be recognized as the created. Yeah, that's just my opinion, but that's the way I feel about it. Okay, from there we're going to go to Proverbs. We're going to get into Solomon. Solomon, all his wisdom. And that's going to be Proverbs 8:29. Solomon, his wisdom, saw God's power over his creation. So 8:29. When he assigned to the sea its limit. Think about that for a minute. What were we being told? So that the waters would not transgress his command. Then he marked out the foundation of the earth. So it's in the old books, in the wisdom of Solomon. Solomon was very wise, a lot wiser than I am. So in Solomon's wisdom, he understood that God had control of the ocean. And if you think about that for a second, that's one of the mightiest things on the face of the earth, is the ocean. The conquering of the ocean, what I consider is, back in the early 20th century, around 1918, when the ship started being out of sail across the sea in 3 and 4 days, before it took months to sail. Now they're steaming across, so the ocean was kind of conquered a little bit, but the power of it never was. Remember, they made a ship and praised it the unsinkable. And what happened to that crazed ship, the unsinkable? You think about that. It's amazing that people try to say that they can defeat God with little simple. beautiful words like that. God can just say, well, you can believe that if you want. But if you think, look at the powers of the waves, like you see no tsunamis over the place, washing up and taking people out, and now California hitting all those waves, which they've never mentioned where they're from. You know, and all this, and you sit there and you look and you say, yeah, you can cross the ocean, but you can't control it. And has it really gone beyond the limits of where God said? Or is it right where God knows it's going to be? So that's just a nowadays. I have to always look at nowadays when I do this too. I'm sorry, but that's one of my faults there. Okay, and from, oh, we didn't read, did I? Yeah, I read it. Did I?
Yes, you did.
Okay. See, I get so caught up. And I'm going to go to Isaiah. Isaiah 29:16. And as you see, it's easier for me to go through my Bible as it, in order. So that's how I set it up, as in order. Just, there was no specific reason for me except for the order, because I knew if we were looking through the Bible, it's easier to go as the Bible goes. Because I get off finger. So, in Isaiah, I wrote down in disobedience. The Lord in trouble, they have visited you. They pour out a prayer when you're chastening them upon them. I'm on the wrong one. All right. Where am I? Yeah.
What is it?
29.
Okay.
29:14. I stopped at 26. Okay. I'm like, that's not right. Pause and wonder. Blind yourselves and be blind. They are drunk.
16.
Okay. I'll get it right this time. So it won't be three strikes. Okay. Surely you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the thing made say to who made it? He did not make me. We were discussing that. Or shall the thing formed say to him who formed it? He has no understanding. And as the world goes today, that prayer to the Lord is very evident that that's what people are saying. They don't look as God as your creator. They don't look as God can do all things. And I even had that page dog-eared because I knew I'd mess that one up. And it's amazing. The Lord actually tells us what's going to happen. Even way back then, what's going to happen, what's happening now. But it was happening then, too. It's like a reoccurring thing that man will never learn. Because you always say history repeats itself, and as you see things going on, it does. And does man ever learn from his past? Or is he so proud and pompous that he says, that won't happen to us? So it's tough when you look at it and the Lord says it and you see it going on and you see how man is really as smart as he thinks he is. Okay, and from Isaiah we're going to Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah praying for understanding identifies the Lord. Okay, 32:17. I need somebody to do my reading. I don't mind that. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arms. There is nothing too hard for you. If only the world really lived with that. You think how much, it's amazing. Man always is going to make things better if he does this. if he does that. But life could be so much better if everybody would just recognize the Lord. He can do anything with his outstretched arms. And people don't understand, and man can do stuff, but it has ever really totally made everything better. But if you listen to their attempts, they are making everything better. But did they really make anything that much better? Okay. Now, there's more in the Old Testament about creation, but I'm going to go, because I know our time is getting close, I want to go to the Romans. Romans 1:25. Romans 1:25. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creatures rather than the Creator? Who is blessed forever? Amen. And we've gone over that. We taught, yes, it's happening. It's easier for the created to believe there was no creator, so they don't have to recognize themselves as the created. And it's very, very hard. And there's a lot of the adaptations of all the theories. But it's all right if you look at his God as the beginning. But that's not what God says. God's very blunt with that because he is the only creator. And there's nobody that can change that. You can tell lies, just like a lot of people lie about everything. But you can't change it. Because I have a real hard time. I developed from an ape. In school, when they told me that, I just told the teacher, I couldn't believe that if you paid me to. I said, I'll pass your test, but I don't believe it. And he didn't like that too much because he was he was really developed in it. But that's.
Oh, I saw you in the zoo this morning. I'm
you could have. That could have been one of my relatives. but that's just how it is. And people, I just can't believe they actually think that things are getting better. Because I guess if you can believe the world's getting better, then I guess you can believe that things get better with time. And in this world, I haven't seen anything gets better with time. People don't understand babies. I get a big charge out looking at a baby. And then they become kids. And then they get that terrible Tuesday and you're wondering, hey, was this the same kid that I was just that little baby? I can say that because I'm a grandfather now. Because I will say it. But it's amazing. And then you watch them go through their teens and you're like, So, does anything really get better?
Your mom did a lot of that.
Yeah, I know she did. I know there's a lot of those gray hairs were mine.
You are different from the rest of them.
Yeah, oh, I know I am. Believe me, I know.
Your people.
Yes. The Lord had creates them too. So can you argue with that? Okay, and from Romans we're going to go to Ephesians. Ephesians 3:9. And to make all see, that is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. And I understand more why people now don't, as I was going through the study, how people don't believe in Jesus. They can believe in God. And through with all the Bible, how it's written and everything went in the Old Testament, and the Jews still believe that Jesus was only a good person. I kind of understand that philosophy now, because if you can't believe in the creation, then you can't believe in Jesus, because Jesus was the creator. And it makes more sense, at least to me, being how I look at things, why people look and say, well, Jesus was just a good guy. Because they're, in reality, they're just saying, well, did God really create the earth, which Jesus, or was it just a big bang? You know, it makes it more understandable how people can just look and say, well, Jesus was a good guy. He died, why? For our sins. And people just look, well, he was a good guy, died. You know, when I was reading that through, I had an understanding of how you can miss. I always couldn't understand why people couldn't see Jesus. But then, realizing that Jesus was the creator, and the people miss that, it's not that hard to miss the other. It's sad. It's so sad to see that people miss God as the creator. Jesus is the creator, and Jesus died for our sins. But why would he do that? And that's what people don't get. It's his love. He created us for his benefit. And all we have to do is love him in return, because that's, as a creation, that's all we can do. We can't give him anything he don't already have. It's just impossible. And it's a small price for the created to give the creator. It really is, if you look at it. And I'm running out of time. I had a feeling I wasn't going to get through all this. Okay. I'm going there, and I'm going to go backwards now, because there's a point of view of creation that I wanted to get to, and that's in Job. Because in Job, everybody knows the story of how Job went through the hardships, his losses. But in the beginning of Job, God allows it. And God actually calls attention to Job. And the devil, Lucifer, however you want it, is there, and he says, do you recognize my servant Job? He calls attention to him. And it's because God knew Job's real heart. And Job, and it's in 4:17, in the beginning of Job, I did it again. Can a mortal be more righteous than God? Can a man be more pure than his maker? Job realizes God's the creator. And then, I'm not going to read it. I'm going to go to the longest one, and we'll do that, and I'll end it there. Is that there was Job 19, we are in his hands, is more or less what the statement of 4:19, but I'm not going to read that one. I'm going to go to Job, all the way to Job 38. In Job 38:4-14. It's God talking to Job. And it's God saying to Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? And who laid its cornerstone? When the morning song sang together, all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut in the seas with its doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When it came, made the clouds its garment, and the thick darkness its swaddling band. When I fixed my limit of it and set bars and doors. When I said, this far you may come, but no further. And here you proud waves must stop. Have you commanded the morning stars since the days began and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it? It takes on like clay under a sea, a seal, and stands out like a garment. See, now this is God's take on his creation. He did it. And who are we to question what it is? Job's question was, he was a good man. How could this happen? And God was trying to show him, which I believe he got, that God's in control. God does things for his purpose. And his purpose is so much better than our purpose. Even though most of the time we don't believe it, because we have our desires and our prayers and our things that we want. But God's purpose is pure and it's right. And he told him by showing him what he believed, because he believed that in the beginning that God was the creator. And then he said, if I'm the creator, what are you going to tell me? Basically, that's what I get out of it. What are you going to show me? Can you tell me how this or this or this happened? And it's great to see God, in my opinion, respond about creation. I mean, it took me a while to put it all together. But it was God showing me that his creation, with the creation, it's all his. And what we can do is we can basically only foul it up. And as man, if you look at the earth, we basically only fouled it up. You know, and it's tough to see that, but it's the truth. And God's perfect. But I'm running short on time, and I had one to go into Revelation, but I won't, because there is creation there, and there is a new creation. But I hope it was as enlightening for you as it was for me to see creation. I looked at it in a different way as I was going through it, a way different way. And does anybody have anything they want to add? They want to subtract? I know I make mistakes because I am a man.
The scripture comes to mind to me is in Proverbs, where it says, "Man, man makes his plans, but it's God's plans that will succeed."
Yes. And it's very obvious. It's great, and I'm glad it's that way. Could you imagine how fouled up it was if man could change it? How fouled up he'd have this world? I mean, it's bad now, and he's limited. If he was given a do-what-you-want card, we'd really be in for a world of hurt. And I look at everybody. Everybody has their unique situations in life. And if they would understand, I believe if God's the creator and look at your unique situation, it's a purpose for what God has purposed it. It's not always what we have desired. And that's the hard pill to swallow. Because we like things the way we like them. And there are some people that like things the way they like them. We're not people, but everybody still has a desire for certain things to be a certain way. And that's what makes it so great that we have a God that he takes care of all that, at least in my opinion. Does anybody else have anything? Anybody want to close this in prayer? Alright, I'll do it. Dear Heavenly Father, I just hope that everybody got out of this word and that what you showed me, because you've opened up a lot more to me. And it's easy to get off track, and I did a couple times, and I know I used my time, but it's all for you, Lord, and I hope it's what you wanted. In your name I pray, amen.
You made the gingerbread man, that's really good.
Great.
Thank you. Awesome.
Yeah.